Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is a podcast where the dog bites the mom in the face, and it's a good one. It's definitely something that we haven't really talked about too much on here in depth about why these things can happen and what can we actually do about this realistically, fairly, safely. So I know you guys are going to find this interesting for sure, and then you're going to find some value in how to navigate through this if you do have a dog that has bitten somebody, or if you're a trainer and you're working through this, or you just want to hear this story. This would be good for you guys. As a reminder, I'm going on my tour, which is going to be dog training seminars, working with me live and in person, helping out with your dog. Going to be in Ontario this month, I think next weekend, and we're going to be in Seattle in June, and we're going to be in England, in York, England. We're going to be in Australia in a couple locations, and New Zealand. For all ticket information and to get your tickets right now before they sell out is linked in the show notes. Enjoy this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
But yeah, so basically we've got two dogs. One of them has had some aggression issues with the other dog. Never really had a problem with people until a few nights ago he bit my wife.
Which, so what are the, how old are the dogs, and what are their breeds?
We've got a 10-year-old border collie mix and a 8-year-old. If you believe the DNA tests, he's an even split basically of pit bull, bulldog, and Great Pyrenees.
Okay.
And he's the one that bit.
Okay. Can you give me the context?
Yeah. So he's always had his triggers. He gets grumpy when he's tired.
Okay.
And he was sleeping on the couch next to my wife. She leaned on him. He started grumbling. He also grumbles a lot when he's just like happy, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's like one of those dogs where like, you're not sure. Are you grumbling because you're happy? Or are you grumbling because you're upset? And I kind of read it as he's upset. She didn't read it that way. And he bit her right on the face.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So with that, how much damage did it do?
A few stitches. Could have been worse. He's a bite and hold dog, which obviously isn't ideal, but I've dealt with him enough that I know how to remove him from something without doing additional damage.
And has he, when you say that, I'm assuming that he's gone after other dogs then? That's how you know?
Just our other dog in the house.
Okay. So he's never had an issue with people until?
No. Yeah. Never with people. I mean, he literally sleeps on my wife's pillow typically.
Okay. Interesting.
Like he's asleep in the bed in between us, like. That's his normal MO. It's like he usually is a very sweet dog, but he does have his triggers.
Sure. Okay. So would you say this is, do you feel like, I mean, why do you feel like this happened? You think it's like old age? Do you think he was,
at some level, I think we've allowed him to keep getting like moving the goalpost a little bit. At first it was, he was mean to our other dog. He would go after her really rarely. And then it kind of, he would be when she was doing something he didn't like. And then it would be, then it started to be when she like basically, like more recently, it was like she looked at him wrong and he'd like kind of get upset. And we kind of knew how to monitor it and deal with it so we could manage it, but we didn't get rid of the problem.
Right.
And it's almost like that goalpost just kept moving up a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the issue, but that's kind of how it feels, in my seat.
Yeah.
It's just like we kind of unknowingly let this go a little further each time.
Yeah. And it seems like it's just gotten worse and worse over the, you think it's like age? That's.
Yeah. As he's gotten older, it's gotten worse. It would literally be. When he was younger, it would be a spat, every once or twice a year, them kind of mostly not really hurting each other. You know, they would just kind of have a little spat and that would be it. And then, you know, it'd be a, you know, a bloody ear. And then, you know, he's a puncture wound or two. And that, you know, it's just like definitely got worse as he got older. And it happened slowly. And it's almost like we like, I feel like if it had happened more suddenly, we would have probably been more like immediate. But then it's like it happened slowly and you're like appeasement almost at that point.
You're just making up excuses of why it could happen, and
Yeah.
yeah. Okay.
And
So
then, you know, the
what's
last
your
straw that's not acceptable is, you know, biting a person. It's, you know.
What's your goals here?
You know, I don't know how to work back from this. I mean, you know, I don't know how to handle training him. Like I said, he's a sweet dog. He's not inherently aggressive. He's not going after people. You know, he doesn't unpromptedly go after people. So I'm like, not sure he like needs like a full crack. I'm like, I don't know where to start. That's the, you know, that's probably the real goal is like, where do we go from here?
It's tough. Okay, so 8 years old, has had a history with having little tiffs with your other dog, but nothing too serious, it sounds like. And
Yeah, basically.
now your wife is laying on this dog and he growled, snapped, bit her face. But and however, the there's been some accumulation of aggression going on. It seems that the dog is has gotten more grumpy and more agitated, and shorter fuse of patience. Considering you said like he usually lays on her pillow, and now she can't even lay near him without, you know, something like this happening. So, I would
Yeah.
say,
And
go ahead.
I'd almost guarantee you if we just let him, he'd be right back on her pillow, like nothing happened, you know.
Yeah, of course she probably wouldn't like that, but so a couple things I would say is, you know, at this age it's like your options are you can, 'cause it's not a this isn't like a training thing, this is a behavioral thing, this is expectations, this is potentially management, this isn't looking into your relationship, this is something that's been brewing up, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, I don't like this anymore. So I would say if it were me, do you guys have kids?
No.
Okay. So I would just say, like, you have a couple options. The first option is to say, because I don't think you're going to ever land on why all of a sudden it's gotten to this point. It's not like, outside of potential injuries within the dog, which is possible but unlikely. But I've seen dogs act out very at a very characteristic because they do have, you know, something in their paw, or they have cancer,
Pain or
or
something.
yeah, exactly. That's anytime a dog acts really out of character, where you're like, where the hell did this come from? That is the absolute first place I check. You know, much like with people, you know, you wake up and you can't
Yeah.
see or something, and you're like, whoa, this isn't normal. I need to go get this checked out, and we'll get a blood panel or go see a doctor or something. So, but considering how this has kind of been a slow burn and an accumulation, I would just say at his age, he's probably just at a point where he's like, if I growl, you move. And if you don't, then I'm gonna nail you for it. And so to me, it doesn't make sense why your dog is doing it. However, the action in which your dog is letting your wife or anybody else know that I'm uncomfortable makes sense. Not that it's appropriate for your dog to bite anybody ever. However, it's so I guess my point is the first line of defense would be health if you can't hash that out, or if you just feel like that's a waste of time, which it could be because of the dog's age and this has been an accumulation, then the next
Yeah, he's gets his like regular blood work done every year and everything, and he was pretty recently checked up and clean bill of, you know, full of
So
everything.
the next thing would be managing your expectations of what you would like. Because to me, from the context that you've told me, he has it out for your wife for whatever reason, not all the time, not consistently, but definitely doesn't have the same relationship with your wife as with you, it seems. And so
he will grumble at me if in the same situation.
So do you feel like your wife was just that tipping point? Like she was,
she might have been.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure. Yeah. You know, I can't play the odds, what he would choose to not do or not, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. And it's an unfortunate, man. I feel for you. I'm sorry that this has happened. But from a behavioral standpoint, if the dog is predicting a bite and is communicating that they're uncomfortable, and then they bite, that gives you an option to alleviate. On paper, it would make sense to say, okay, well, the dog will never bite as long as I take the cue when he growls that we get away and we give him a space. So the worst case scenario would be to get a dog that is unpredictable. And again, we'd have to define that, because it's like, well, this was pretty unpredictable. But it also seems like from the tone that you're saying, it's like, yeah, but he's kind of been sketchy about this for a while, and he growls and talks and communicates a lot, and this might have just been the last straw. Or he could have been, like you said, when he gets tired, he gets really grumpy, and now that he's 8, that's turned into, no, seriously, get the F away. So for me, it would be, okay, well, anytime he growls, we're going to get away from him. But it would also just be like giving him his space. Because, I mean, if you talk about what the future is of this dog, it's not like he because it's tough to wrap up in a sentence that makes sense to you. I think what's going on in my head right now is, because to you, if you can say anytime he growls, we can move away from him and this will never happen again, and it's a happier story. Obviously, your wife's relationship with the dog has changed. The trust has changed. I'm sure your trust is altered now as well, to be like, whoa, he will actually do this. So you have an option of saying, well, we're going to live our life. We're going to live the rest of our life with this dog. And if anytime he growls, we're going to move away and give him his space, because clearly he's serious and he will act. The other thing on top of that, in conjunction with that, would be management, to make sure, like, hey, if this dog is really at this point in his life where he doesn't even want us touching us or touching him or whatever, then we're gonna manage it where we're not gonna put our head on his face, we're not gonna get in his face, we're not gonna do things that could potentially get him upset, and that could also be a management system, and that would that would be. Because again, this isn't like a training thing. It's not like it. This isn't. Yeah, I wouldn't look at this as training, like lack of obedience or lack of communication or lack of relationship. Or this sounds to me like this has kind of been brewing for a long time, and now he's in his older age, and now he's grumpier than ever. And you're not going to dance around it or train around it. You're just going to say, okay, he growls, he can and will bite, so we're moving away. And also, can we reduce the risk of the dog getting really upset fairly? Meaning, once he starts to growl and bite because your wife's just in the room, that's a whole other conversation. But if a dog doesn't like being laid on or in somebody in their face or played with or touched, those are all things that I would say, again, not appropriate to bite, but trying to give the dog the better end of the stick here would be, if we cannot do those things, then there likely won't be any situation in the future. Again, the only thing I would add there is, if the dog starts coming after you or your wife randomly without any warning and or without any predictability of, I laid on my grumpy dog's head, he growled, he bit me. Sucks.
Yeah.
Unwarranted. Shouldn't have happened. Inappropriate. Although, there is an equation there that I can see. Okay, well, that does make sense. Like, there is, but you know, your wife wakes up and walks past the dog, and the dog reaches out to grab the wife, your wife, or you. That's a completely different conversation of something else going on, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But
is there any, like, even positive training you could do to around those situations to have, like, help him feel better?
Sure. But Yeah, I mean, you can it to me it's not that's what I was saying is like I'm trying to do the Rubik's Cube in my head of training solutions here. And really, when you get a dog that behaviorally just says, I'm uncomfortable, I don't like this, get out of here or else, there isn't, you got to be, you know, like let's say your wife is sitting on the couch and your dog is laying on the couch or something. Like, but again, these are the management conversations I would have is like, okay, well, I maybe we wouldn't may or we should draw boundaries here. The dog shouldn't be on the couch because that's a potential risk for us, for the dog to get upset. Like, those are the management things I would talk about is like not setting your dog up for success by limiting, like they haven't earned that. They've actually earned the place of on a place bed or on a bed away from you when you guys are relaxing because he makes bad decisions. So positive reinforcement training, which would mean we're going to associate in this scenario or context, would be let's build confidence between your wife and the dog. But to me, it's not a relationship thing. It's your dog says, get your head off me, and if you don't, I'm going to. So it's taking very drastic. Again, like low threshold of patience here. Like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen dogs are getting yanked on and tugged on by kids, and they could care less. So your dog. So my point is if your wife sits on the couch and the dog is laying there, and your wife says, "Hey, good boy, you didn't bite me," or "Here's some food, you didn't bite me," the correlation really isn't your wife being around the dog, it seems. The correlation is your dog just doesn't like what your wife did. So if your dog actually didn't like your wife, or if it was that tint, right? If it was that kind of like he doesn't like her, then yeah, you can start doing some exercises to maybe rekindle, rebuild, reconstruct, rebridge a relationship of, hey, whenever mom's around, I get paid, or whenever mom's around, good things happen. And so then, of course, that completely reduces the risk of the dog feeling the way that he did before of anxious or upset or frustrated or pissed off. I mean, frankly, it just sounds like he was like, hey, get off me. And she didn't. And then he nailed her. So again, not appropriate. I'm not making up an excuse because that's very inappropriate behavior that should never happen. But I don't think like, yeah, so that's my thoughts on that is positive reinforcement. Like if you look online, like how do a maybe rekindle a relationship or something, like you might get something that says, well, positive reinforcement is the best. And it is when you're trying to establish a relationship and when you're trying to establish a new behavior, when you're trying to establish an association of good things. But the reality is I think your dog was just like, here's the reality is I think your wife could sit there next to your dog, pay your dog a bunch of steak and say, hey, we're together, this is good. And your dog's like, hell yeah, I love this. And then your wife could put her head back on the dog and he could growl and bite your wife because he just doesn't like that. So it's not a, do you know what I mean? It's not like when you do positive reinforcement training or an association, that's more of a, hey, we're all good here. And I don't think your dog is like, I don't hate you. I'm not trying to track you down and kill you. I just don't freaking want you laying on me. That's what I personally think it is more. And you know, I don't want to waste your time training all this stuff when you're gonna you need to have these false ideas that, oh, well, if I just, you know, pay my dog every now and then when we're around each other, he's not gonna growl at me anymore. And it's like he's probably not growling at you because it's you. He's growling at you because he doesn't like the things that you're doing to him. And
Yeah,
you
I
know.
guess like what I was in, you know, in my head, more what I envisioned was something more along the line with him muzzled was doing things that he doesn't like, but of, you know, giving him treats to make it not
Sure.
seen as bad.
Sure. Yeah, that's an option. So just to clarify, it would be muzzling him, doing something that he may feel uncomfortable and rewarding him if he makes a good decision. But if he doesn't make a good decision, the
Yeah.
muzzle's on. Okay. You could do that, but just in my experience, it could make things worse because you could. I think that will kind of stoke the fire, to be honest, because I'm thinking from a dog's point of view, which is obviously, you know, my expertise in profession is like
Yeah.
the dog is upset, frustrated, agitated, and now we're like, we're gonna take away the only thing. Sorry, let me back up. we're going to take away the thing that can hurt the person. We're not going to take away the thing that's, because obviously the dog's growling. So there's their audible, like, hey, I'm uncomfortable. You could work through that. But at the end of the day, like, what would be the result? The result would be, if you make a good decision and don't growl and bite, you get paid, you get food. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But I would just be afraid that the amount of, what's the point of that, right? Because then your wife would say, okay, because I'm just looking at the long thing here is, okay, well, now we know if we muzzle the dog and the dog gets paid or there's food involved, the dog is really excited about the food and doesn't growl and bite me. But what does that really do at the end of the day? It's like, well, okay, now what? Because for me, it wouldn't be, well, now you can lay on your dog. Like, that wouldn't, you no. know, now, you know,
it'd
now
just be more of a slightly lower risk assessment. I'm not really sure, you know, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, I get it. And I totally get it. And it's absolutely good to think about these things. And it's good that we're doing it, because I can be the dog's point of view of, like, okay, if we did muzzle conditioning and then we did some things that the dog maybe find uncomfortable to help them work through to make good decisions. And even if we went, let's correct the dog if we growl, to me, it would just be an unfair equation, because the dog is like, I'm uncomfortable with this. I don't want you to do this. And we already know that. Because again, it's not, that would be a very good route if a dog was just trying to attack another dog or attack another person because they're around. To me, the incident that had happened recently, unfortunately for your wife, just seems like he's like, I don't like this, get off me. She was too late to get out and he got her. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, to me, it'd be more of the dog just doesn't like what is happening. Like, it's kind of an old grumpy dog, don't lay on me. And again, I'm not making up excuses. It's not appropriate for the dog to turn around.
No, I know you're not. I understand.
I just think if you went down the training route, and again, that's why I was in the beginning, I was like, man, you couldn't really do the desensitization stuff because the dog is just set. Like, hey, I don't like this. This isn't, I don't think it's up for debate with the dog, to be honest. I think the dog is just, I don't like this. And I would hate for you guys to, you know, put yourself through a lot more stress and anxiety with the dog to start desensitizing the dog if there really isn't any outcome from that, because the dogs might say, thanks for all the food and thanks for all the love and attention, but if you lay on me, I'm going to growl and try to bite you anyway. So, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So what do we do? Like, cause like, you know, between him occasionally going after our other dog and obviously her, but it's like, it's like, where do we go?
Yeah. I totally, totally get it. I would say this. I would say that if your dog, it's the same thing I was saying before. It doesn't change. Like, you have to make sure that when you have to realize your expectation. And when you are trying to go through this whole conundrum of like, okay, what do we do? The dog bit my wife. Like, can we trust the dog? To me, from what you've told me, again, knowing the context, it would be the dog probably is old, cranky, sore, don't touch me type of thing. So then the decision would be, okay, we need to not put the dog into the situation for these things to happen, because it doesn't sound like he's going to do it as long as she stays out of his way. Right. Like, and not in a way of like in the room, in the way of don't crowd him, don't get in his face, don't lay on him. That's your answer, is what can we do outside of, you know, behavioral euthanasia, which I don't think you're at that stage yet.
No.
I just think, okay, it's because of the dog's age and because of the way that the dog did it, is what do we do? Right now you can manage the situation to say, hey, I can't get in my dog's face. I can't do the things that the dog doesn't like anymore. And I know that sounds, even when I say it, it's like, these are very specific very specific circumstances. And if you were to hear me talk to any other dog owner and the dog is jumping up on people, or the dog is pulling somebody down the road, or the dog is going up and growling at strangers, like, we would be going through training, obedience, corrections, making sure the dog knows that that's inappropriate. In this circumstance, it's a human did something to a dog that the dog perceives as uncomfortable and or inappropriate for the dog. The dog warned and then quickly bit. And now it's like, how do we, it's not what do we do, it's more of like, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure yours too. And my answer would be, do everything you can to make sure that the dog doesn't get put into these situations, because he's clearly telling you the growl is the warning. And that's good, because some dogs actually will just bite somebody, and it's like, okay, now we're basically sleeping with a rattlesnake here. We're walking on eggshells all the time. The dog seems to me like he's very clear, like, I'm uncomfortable with this, get away. Outside of that, you could be doing some basic things like conditioning the dog to handle with your wife more often, right? So doing some obedience with each other and doing the place and the stay and the rewards and the positive reinforcement. And that's going to be really healthy for the relationship. But like I said, I don't think the relationship is the tipping point. I think your dog's old and grumpy and says, I don't like this. And there's, you know, there's unfortunately not much you could do about that. Like, for example, I had a dog, my St. Bernard, who I had, and he went into daycare. He was my demo dog. He was the friendliest dog in the world. When he hit about 5 years old, he just stopped liking dogs. And I didn't go through the process because I didn't at the time, and even now, I don't care why all of a sudden he's stopped liking dogs, because the only way to really get through it and over it would be discretionary on another dog's safety, like working around other dogs. And I just knew from his behavior and what he was doing and what his intentions were, is like, he just stopped liking dogs. Like, it's over. He's had enough. And, you know, it was unfortunate, but I never tried to change his mind, because I'm like, it's going to be too stressful for him and the other dog and for me, and it's not mm-hmm. going to be realistic. He doesn't like, I can tell right now by the way he's going after these dogs, he does not like other dogs. And it's kind of the same thing where this dog says like, hey, I don't like this stuff that you're doing, whether it's pulling on my tail or getting in my face or whatever the physicality thing is. That's something that you just like, with my personal dog, it was like, okay, you know, he lived, I don't know, 7-8 years around a bunch of dogs all the time, and he had good obedience and he listened and there was no problems. But I just had to be more cautious and mindful and manage the situation. Mm-hmm.
So any kind of like positive reinforcement around situations is probably not going to get us anywhere. I mean, not that, you know, to be honest, none of us are going to lay on him ever again.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
Right.
It's just, that's clear. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get back to that point. I'm more trying to stop any additional development and, you know, basically, you know, mm-hmm. draw the line, hopefully here, and hopefully manage in ways that it never happens again.
Yeah. Yeah. The positive reinforcement would be, again, it would be good and healthy for their relationship.
Yeah.
But don't
expect it to just change the way he feels.
Yeah. It's not going to change. Exactly. He's not going to change. It's not going to change the way he feels.
Not detrimental either.
No, it'll be definitely try it. You know, like I said, do activities like place, sending the dog to their bed and stuff like that. That's great for your wife and for the dog. It's just not gonna, you know, like I said, I don't want to give you a false reality of
I understand.
Yeah.
If he's gonna be magically start loving that.
Yeah. Right. He's going to say, oh, you know what? You can lay on me now, 'cause you gave me cookies earlier. You know, when we do positive reinforcement, it's really to associate the environment and everything. Like, we want this to be a positive experience for you. But, you know, it's like to really apply that with what we're asking, it would be, let's lay on the dog. If he doesn't growl, we'd pay him. Let's lay on the dog. If but it's already like, well, we're not going to lay on the dog because we already know that he doesn't like that. And there's a high risk.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Like lowering the bar, like, you know, just like sitting next to him, you know, and
sure.
Maybe just touching him or, you know, then give him a, you know.
You could. I mean, that would be like if you were to do training, let's say like realistic training, I would first of all tell you all the same things. But then I would say the only thing we can really do is let's muzzle condition him so he's comfortable with this. And then
he's already muzzle. He was like 90% muzzle conditioned already. So
perfect.
We kind of just finished that off. And so he, you know, he will spot it occasionally, but like he fell asleep the last few nights in this muzzle in the, you know, at the end of the day.
That's good.
He was in the room with us.
So that would be like, what you could do is you can start working on what are the triggers, you know, how far can we get? What are the things that the dog growls on? And then that way you and your wife know, but it's not going to change. Like we're not going to try to, like,
yeah.
You know, when I tell people who they're, again, same thing with my older dog who was not alive anymore, but it was like, what if my dog, you know, doesn't like other dogs, or my dog doesn't like my neighbor, or my dog doesn't like my partner, or whatever. And it's like,
yeah,
you may not change the way you're, sometimes you can't change genetics, and that's a dog on dog thing. A lot of times, you know, they have prey drive or aggression or whatever. You know, you can't change that genetic of the dog, but what you can do is you can manage it with obedience, and you can try to make as many positive associations as you possibly can. You know, you can do all those things. It's just not going to give you like the, and I know that you're not expecting this, I'm just reiterating that it's not going to give you that mm-hmm. green light of now we can lay on him. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
he still doesn't like that.
No, like our border collie, when she was about six, you know, literally walked in the house one day, and our last dog, our older dog that she had passed, she literally just randomly turned on her one day. Mm-hmm. They'd literally been.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
They would sleep in the same dog bed, you know, sleeping on top of each other, and just one day decided they were no longer friends. And we, you know, we did a lot of like, you know, marker, like, yes. And mm-hmm. just anytime she walked in the room, and they got to the point where they just didn't look at each other basically. And yeah, we were happy with that, you know, like that's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. That's like those expectations of, where can we get realistically, you know, what's the goal here? And I think that, like I said, it would be with you guys, it would be, okay, we don't want that to ever happen again. Can we say confidently that we know every single thing of, you know, how the dog's going to feel and what's going to tick him off? No, but we know that we're not going to lay on him. We know that we're not going to get in his face. We know that, you know, we're going to be extra mindful when he's tired and cranky at night or after a long walk or something. So these are things. The other thing is like, again, something like having a really good send away to the place. Again, not mm-hmm. definitely not gonna, you know, solve your issue of your somebody getting bit. However, again, it might reduce the risk of the dog potentially biting somebody because you can move the dog to another place really easily and effectively. So things like place, you know, something like that.
Is there any world where correcting him in a corrective setting actually of any benefit when he's not doing something like that, like incorrect like that?
Correcting him when he growls, like
e-collar, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. You could. You could correct it, but it could just... Yes, I mean, so correcting the behavior with the remote collar under those circumstances would probably stop, like once you heard the growl and you corrected, it would stop the dog from probably pursuing what they're about to do, which it sounds to me like bite. You know, we can stop that. Yeah. We can disrupt it. You know, like as a dog starts to build, disrupting their behavior or what they're about to do, but it also could again just take away the growl, right? So what we would do is for just hypothetically, let's say the dog is, let's say you sat on the couch, you get close to the dog growls and says, "I don't want you near me." Okay. Well, then you correct the growl and now the dog's like, "Well, if I'm just going to keep getting corrected for the growl, yeah. I'm just not going to growl. I'm just going to bite next time." Possibly. Mm-hmm. So could the dog say, "I shouldn't growl"? Yeah, it could. The dog could say, "Okay, that's inappropriate. I don't want to do that anymore." It could, but again, it's like, that's just what I was talking about earlier. Like generally, we do go down this road of teaching the dog what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. But this isn't one of those situations. This is the dog saying, like, "I hate this. I don't like this." And so... it would be the same thing if the dog hated guests when they came over. Okay, dog's on a leash, dog's on a corrective collar. Somebody walks into your house, absolutely zero, should be zero conflict. Your dog lunges. You correct the dog and say, "Hey, leave it." The dog says, "Okay, I'm not going to lunge anymore." So this is called like natural suppression, which in some cases you absolutely have to do. Like a dog chasing, like a golden retriever chasing squirrels or chipmunks or chickens. You tell them they can't, that's suppression. Like they want to because of their instincts, you can't. Because, you know, we got stuff to do. I don't want to get dragged around. I don't want you killing things. So let's say the dog lunges at somebody. We say, "Leave it." We correct them. We say, "What you just did was inappropriate. Don't ever do it again." We cause them momentary pieces of stress. They don't bark and lunge at somebody. But in your case, it's not like that. It's once somebody gets into the dog's space, then the dog says, "I don't like this anymore. I want you to back off."
I was also thinking about with our other dog, you know, and his occasional attacking her.
Yeah.
Which is like a little more like there's some level of predictability, but like usually it's just because like she's slinking around and he doesn't like it kind of thing. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that would be an easier roadmap to say, like, if the dog was attacking the other dog, you could disrupt that with an e-collar and really probably get that to be minimalized as much as possible. Or again, like you could enforce a recall, right? So let's say the dogs kind of get whatever, like if you feel like it's predictable, if you feel like there's confrontation about to happen, or if a dog walks into a room or whatever, like if you have some sort of control on the lever there, mm-hmm. you could say to the not the older border collie, but to the younger eight-year-old, you could say "come" or "leave it," and then you could enforce these things, right, with the remote collar off mm-hmm. leash. So if you said "come" and the dog's like "nope," and they know "come" and they know e-collar, you could enforce the remote collar with that, right? And that would make sense, where the dog gets corrected and makes a better decision and comes yeah. to you, and you could negate any potential risk of the dog's fighting because of that. And that's different, but I'm just thinking, dog's on couch, you lay on dog bites you. There is no, that's more of an outlier
yeah.
type.
I'm kind of trying to it's kind of the whole holistic package and how to like correct back and mm-hmm. yeah, obviously, you know, in the sense of, you know, him, we're not going to lay on him anymore. We're, you know, he might even, you know, it might even be a situation where he either is in a place or in a crate at night when I know he's already past that point. Yeah. So it's obvious when it is, it's, you know, it's the same time every night he gets like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it is, again, I wouldn't try to fight through that. I would just say, okay, this is him. Because again, fighting through it is just, what's the point? Is he's just going to, "Oh, now I like this." It's like, no, that's not going to, you know, that's not going to change that particular thing. This is a very like outlierish type of, the dog physically is like, you know, if a dog wants to try to bite, like you could correct your dog from trying to bite anybody at any time. That's always going to be warranted. It's if my wife walks into the room, yeah, we're going to start correcting that immediately. Super heavy. Absolutely never. Absolutely not. Like that. That's the approach in training. We're going to work on leave it. We're going to work on your wife's relationship with the dog. Like all of that would go down the traditional hole of dog training, right? That's a little bit, that's going to be structured. The roadmap for that after is going to be structured very normally, as you would normally go through the dog training scenario. But this is not, mm-hmm. it doesn't fall under that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like I said, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's, I would just say right now you could manage the situation, obviously, like I said, by not just you and your wife having conversations of what we're not going to do anymore, which it sounds like you already have. And then from there, it would be, yeah, you could do some engagement and some relationship building exercise through basic obedience and positive reinforcement to keep. But to me, like I said, I think if you got a bag of treats out and you started working with the dog and dog's like, heck yeah, wagging his tail, like,
oh, the whole environment changes the yeah. second you bring that bag out.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is like that's it's not correlated with you're laying on me, I don't like this, and I'm gonna do what dogs do to correct you, and they bite, right? So yeah, and that's kind of been like your dog's MO, you know, from before with your other dog, is they actually will throw down. And when your dog tries to snap at another dog and they have fur and it protects them from getting bit in the face or getting a puncture, it's different, right? With a human, like the dog growls, snaps at a human, walks away and says like, told you to get off me. And now we have stitches on a human's face, where if your dog snaps and growls at another dog, they could go after each other for 2 seconds. It looks like they're killing each other. And then you check them and there's literally nothing that happened. So
yeah. Or you have a scraped ear, you know,
yeah.
something. That,
yeah. So like when animals are, you know, arguing or having these, cause again, it's like, it's tough. Like, especially if the dog is latching on and not letting go and is really upset about it. It's, to me, it would just be we're never going to do that again. And if you feel like he's not like predatorially walking around unpredictably attacking people, he's just going to be grumpy and upset under the circumstances of somebody doing something he doesn't like. And as long as those things are reasonable, meaning laying on him, touching him, getting in his face, then the best thing to do to be 100% successful is simply just managing those expectations of making sure we don't do that. That would be, mm-hmm. that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions on that?
No, I mean, I guess, you know, we'll obviously do some basic conditioning again. You know, it's like, and probably have a much stronger place and all the, you know, that fun stuff, just to kind of reinforce all of that stuff again.
Yeah.
Stuff yeah. they all learned when they were younger, but isn't nearly as strong as it once was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would encourage you and your wife to start definitely getting back down. Like if you haven't trained the dog in a long time or hardly at all, you definitely, I mean, now's the time to say, hey, we need to get this shit under wraps. When I say leave it, or when I say place, or when I say this is what this means. Right. And you might, who knows, you might form like a different, respect with the dog and things may change. I just find that very highly unlikely. It's just, all of that stuff would be super healthy to do regardless. And mm-hmm. and the more stuff you do, it's like a testing. The more tests you do, the more you can really isolate the triggers and the problems. Like if you get him out and you start training with him, and oh, he's good with us touching his head when we're training, and you know he's good at this and he's good at that. And then you and your wife can communicate to just say like, okay, well, under these circumstances here, this is where he gets weird. This is where he gets sketchy. I mean, all of that would be really, really, really good for sure. Mm-hmm.
Is there any negative to, sorry, one sec. You still there?
Yeah.
My earbuds disconnected from my phone.
All good.
Is there any like negative to using the muzzle in those situations where we might be pushing those lines a little
No.
bit?
Nope. Because it's safer. It yeah, no, absolutely not. There's no negative to that. I just want to be clear for my, professional opinion is when a dog is just growling and biting because he's upset of what we're doing to him, the expectation wouldn't be, well, when we put the muzzle on and we push the boundaries is to modify
Oh,
that.
yeah, no. Yeah, no, it's more of a like if we learn, if we feel like we're,
Yeah.
if
Yeah.
I feel like we are crossing a boundary that might be something he has an issue with, I don't want to learn the hard way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. There's
Like
that.
we've known he doesn't like his toenails cut for a while, and that's why he's muzzle trained. He hasn't actually done anything, but I can tell he's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and
So I
those
muzzle,
are situations where you're like, okay, I think I'm done with this,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was like the safest situation for both of us is him in a muzzle. I was like, 'cause like, again, you don't want him to learn that that's the thing that he does. And we smear peanut butter everywhere so that he can lick peanut butter while I'm cutting his toenails, and it's not so bad then.
100%. Yeah, all that stuff would be, yeah, absolutely. Like, don't be mistaken by how powerful the muzzle is with a dog that you're unpredictable with. Absolutely. Or that you're like you said, trying to walk that line and be like, where? Absolutely, I would be doing that. The muzzle would be your safe place to be like, okay, well, here's where, here's where things are happening, and we're okay with, and here's where things aren't. But when you're in that gray area, the muzzle will keep, you and everyone around you safe. So that's absolutely something that you should be doing for sure.
And then, yeah, just with the other dog, do you have any recommendations on how we should kind of try to desensitize him to her a little bit, and kind of the way we did with our maybe our last dog?
What's the so is are they just fighting randomly, or are they fighting over?
They're not fighting over anything. I mean, like he will fight over the food closet if you open up the door, but we don't. We move that in a way where there's a gate in the way where no one can get to it, and that's kind of a thing that doesn't exist anymore. But like she'll be like licking the floor, and he'll just be like, "You're being a dick."
So
And
if the older dog is licking the floor, the 8-year-old will, is that what you were saying?
yeah, he'll just like turn on her sometimes like that. She'll just be like, being a border collie, she likes to slink around like with her head slunk and low and her shoulders high. And like he gets like weirded out by her sometimes, and he's like, "I think you're a monster."
Yeah. That
That's like literally what it seems like, because
yeah.
like the second he like right after he bites her, he's like, "Oh, you're my friend."
Yeah, and that's yeah, and that's where absolutely your obedience would come in there, because those are things that are like, those are things you can safely and fairly control. Like, you're not about to bite your sibling because of how you feel, and you're gonna leave it. And those are situations that, again, like recall, place, like disrupting and really deflecting the situation. Like, if there's two dogs who are kind of getting sketchy with each other, and you say, "Hey, come," and you just pull the other dog away, diffuse the situation. Like, that's where your obedience comes in. But going back to the same thing about what we were talking about earlier is, if they don't like each other, as I was saying before, there's not much you could do about that. However, if you have good obedience, you're gonna like if you had good obedience, you can get two dogs that hate each other around each other
Yeah.
safely, and I don't think that's
Which
the
is where we
case.
did the last time. And honestly, it's not like they dislike each other. They'll
Right, that's what I mean.
run up to each other and smell each other. They'll smell each other's butt. They
Yeah, and that would be
it's like that little trigger flips and he's like, "Oh, I gotta kill you." And then he's like, "Wait, I forgot you're my friend."
Yeah,
And then like he like 2 seconds later, he's like trying to like literally go lick her.
Yeah, that, excuse me, that's where all that, that's where all the, like, the relationship building stuff could happen. You bring the dogs on, on walks. So if you, if you bring the dogs on walks together, if you do neutral stuff together, like if you train them together, you know, have them out with each other, those are all things that you can absolutely do to kind of like rekindle and or like reinforce the relationship and have them, you know, hey, this is your brother, this is your sister, this, these are where you are, like, you, you know, you guys need to be okay with this, like, whatever.
So yeah, a previous dog trainer of ours had like told us basically like when, you know, what we'd done was, you know, basically when she, you know, the one dog looked at the other dog, we'd mark it with a yes and throw him a treat. And, you know, that was like kind of the starting point.
Yeah. 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 And that, yeah, absolutely. And those are all things that you can do, but you, you also can start correcting some of the behavior, you know, as you move forward as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If he's wearing an e-collar kind of thing.
Yeah, you could do e-collar, you could do, yeah, you could do leash, but if, you know, if they're off leash, then yeah, you would do, yeah. Yeah, you could do, okay. You could do e-collar.
Yeah, he's not usually wearing it in the house, it's only when he's off leash outside, but.
Yeah.
You know, when we're in those situations, though, and doing training, I can put it on him easily.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, if he's falling asleep with the muzzle, then you're in really good shape. You can absolutely, you know, do the muzzle with the dogs, being around each other. And, yeah. Yeah. I think that that would be more of a training thing. That would be more of a desensitization. Hey, you can't go after your brother. You can't go after your sibling, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something
that's kind of more similar to what you were saying about him. Like when she walked, if it was something like when she walks in the room, it's something you can train, but. Whereas it would, yeah, I don't like this. It's harder to train that.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause that's something that is reasonable. Like for you to say, hey, this is, it's just more of a, it's not going to disrupt your home too much and nobody's going to get really, 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 really hurt. Right. This is more of a, you know, if your dogs don't like each other, you can say, hey, we'll quit the crap. You go over here, you down, you stay, deal with it.
Yeah. Right? But, basically, that's, you know, we've kind of forced that on the border collie because she's the better listener, honestly, and said, hey, you stay in your spot, and she does, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, it probably needs to be, hey, he needs to crack down a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, like the obedience definitely needs to be tighter on that because that's more of a thing that you can control, right? Like if two dogs just run into each other and go, hey, I don't like you. Well, you can go here. You know, you can say leave it, things like that. But, you know, when your dog's on the couch and your wife just puts their head on the dog and the dog growls and bites, like that's one of those like risk over reward type thing for training. And it's like, it's not, you avoid it. Again, I'm sure you can correct after the fact, you can correct even during the fact, but your wife's just gonna have to sit there with her head there. You know, this is something that you would never do. So with dogs on dogs, it's a lot more realistic for sure and sustainable to just start correcting some of that behavior when it happens. Start implementing some obedience to counter, you know, however the dog's situation is, so on and so forth.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Obviously not ideal, but it's something.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could give you a magic secret, formula. Oh, yeah,
that's here. That's what everyone, you know,
yeah.
It's reality, like, is never usually that.
Yeah. It's not super romantic. Honestly, it's unfortunate, but that is the reality of that particular situation. When that stuff happens, I go really like, manage the situation. It's not worth the stress and anxiety to start desensitizing. Let's put our head in the dog's face again. Like, it's just probably going to make things worse. And so, that's my recommendation for you.
Okay. And in your experience, do these situations tend to should I expect that he's going to get worse in age?
I don't know. It seems like that's the projection, and that's why I'm that's why my game plan would be for you guys right now is to just avoid, like, if he wants to be grumpy old man, then leave grumpy old man alone. No, you know, I would just be mindful and start to just be mindful that it could get worse. And then you would have to go down a more like harsh reality of, okay, now we're going to go into straight intervention mode of, you know, muzzle, e-collar, correct him when he growls, correct him when he looks funny. I think right now, it's just the dog is uncomfortable and is just putting his money where his mouth is, unfortunately. But yeah, it could get worse. And that's where you guys are just going to have to kind of back up a little bit and say, okay, he's uncomfortable when we, you know, touch him or get in his face, and we're going to stop doing that. And then if you go 2 years and now he's 10 years old and you're like, hey, as long as we don't get in this dog's face, we're completely fine. Then that's it. That's the ticket. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. And like, should he be allowed on the couch even, or like,
no, those are things that he lost that freedom. Like, you get up on my couch that I bought and I put my head on you and you bite me. Like, you don't get, nope, that goes away. All that stuff goes away. All the freedom things.
Do you give it back? Like, I wouldn't, or is it done? Like,
I wouldn't. Yeah. Because again, risk over reward.
Yeah.
The reward is he gets up on the couch and sleeps on a comfier thing than he thinks, or something that he's used to, because you can get him a bed that's equally comfy or greater, and he'd be completely fine on that. But then you start, you know, you put your dog where your wife's face is, and now you have a dog that can do that. So to me, it's an absolute no. Like, you've completely lost that privilege and you'll never get it back, because you didn't just growl. Right, it'd be different, right? If you growled, being okay, let's recalibrate here. But this was a growl and then a bite. And so, if any time a dog, those are the triggers I was telling you about earlier in the beginning. Is you'd remove all those triggers, so couches, furniture in general, you know,
probably not a lot on the bed anymore.
I wouldn't, because to me, if you called me in 2 weeks and said, we were asleep, I'd say, yeah. Absolutely. You're on that. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a good question. As soon as a dog starts showing that very small fuse and very small wick, that's where I take it. All that privilege is gone completely. Like, you don't, that the same thing what I was telling you with my other dog, as soon as he went after another dog completely randomly, that was it. No other dogs. I didn't. Nope. It's gone. You're not for everyone's sake, but I would just say no, because it's too risky. Because I'm telling you, like, I think you'd be completely fine as long as you took away the triggers and as long as you took away these conflicting personal space things. Because I just don't think it would be healthy for you guys to work through. This isn't a 6-month-old dog trying to figure life out, who's in charge. This is an 8-year-old dog that bit your wife. And so I think it would be, you've lost that privilege forever and you're never going to get it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks because I know dogs are life, and you know, now you have to do something that the dog's been always able to do, but also your dog's making really, really dangerous, poor decisions. So
in that same avenue, like, it's just like the nature of the house, like it, and like I can train him to stay off the couch. Like, is he allowed on the couch when no one's in the house? Like, or am I trying to get him to like stay off the couch forever? Or is it like a go on the couch and you're not allowed kind of thing?
I don't know, man. I would take it away completely. Like,
yeah,
because it just
try to train him off of it completely.
Yeah, it would be get down and go to your bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think it's. Because if it happened again on the couch, you'd be like, man, I really should take away this whole couch privilege thing, you know?
It was more of the difference of you're not allowed on the couch when we're here, when we're in the room, or you're not allowed on the couch
Well,
no matter what the scenario is. I'm just like trying to figure out as far as like where to put my effort training wise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here's my thing. Okay. So if you were to say, okay, when we're home, no on the couch, but when we're gone, fine. Okay. Well, then what could happen is you're going to come home and the dog's going to be in the couch. And, you know, now you have this big conflict. And I would just be more, I mean, not that you can enforce it when you guys aren't home, but if you just are consistent with like, hey, get off the couch, I think you're just going to run into more. Well, the problem is the dog's already ate, so you're going to be running into these problems anyway.
Yeah, he's got his things that he's used to at this point in his life.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, you can't really do anything about it anyway if the dog gets on the couch unless you crated him or block the off. Yep. So anyway, that would be my
put a pretty firm like it, you know, go to your place at night and like that's where you're gonna
hang out. Yeah, it would be you're gonna be in here and you're not gonna get on the couch because when you get on the couch you make bad decisions, and when you make bad decisions somebody potentially gets hurt.
Yeah,
so
no, that makes sense.
We are gonna not allow you on the couch.
Makes sense. I mean, it's pretty logical.
Yeah. I mean, I just, for me, it's like you've just lost the, you've lost it. You've lost the opportunity, you lost the privilege of getting on there.
Okay. Yeah. That's easy enough.
Cool.
Straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, just, it's not worth it. But I mean, he gets up on the couch, you know, the next couple weeks, you're going to have to just tell him to get off anyway. I would be worried about like more conflict of getting the dog off the couch, which you're going to run into regardless. You know,
yeah,
you're going to run into regardless.
I mean, he's still in a muzzle when we're, when.
Oh, okay.
Whenever my wife's in the room, he's in a muzzle because you know she's not comfortable yet.
Ah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, then that'll be better. But again, like that would be your obedience, and that could be the e-collar, right? Off, the dog says no, make me. No, I'm actually not going to make you physically come over there and you know, get into a conflict.
I'm not going to pick you up and move you.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you're going to, you might get into an actual, you know, altercation there.
Yeah.
You don't want.
No, that makes, I mean, no reason to cause more outbursts.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be my, that would be my recommendation on all this, but, you know, I'm sorry that you're dealing with it because I know that that's got to be stressful because you love your dog and obviously you love your wife and it's tough. But
everyone ultimately just wants to sit on the couch and cuddle, which is usually what we're doing. So it's like,
and it would just be like, well, you've kind of lost that privilege, dude. Like last time we tried to do something like that, you bit me in the face. Good. So we're not doing that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. I just figured that's why I asked, because it's like, you know, like he's been on the couch since, but in a muzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could still do that. It's just, I don't know. I just don't think it's like, you know, solving anything. Like, again, if my dog were to bite anybody on the couch or even growl, if my dog growled at somebody on the couch, I would say you're never coming on the couch again. Like it's just,
yep. No, from you saying it makes sense. I clearly just accepted it for too long
and yeah,
never drew the line, and if I did it probably would have never happened.
Yep. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No, I think you've answered everything. I appreciate your time.
Cool. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, like I said, I'm sorry that you're going through this. I know that, you know, I have dogs and a wife and myself, and I know how stressful that can be, but just do the best you can to eliminate the triggers, and you probably won't have any issues, hopefully, again. And if you do, then it's another conversation.
Yep. Yeah, no. Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah, okay. All right, man.
Hopefully it's another dog we're talking about, and it's a puppy, and we're talking about training.
Let's do that. Let's plan on that.
We're planning on bringing the next one down. We actually live in Vermont, so we're not that far away.
Oh, amazing. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, let's let that be the next conversation. Let's just put that out in the put that out in the universe.
Appreciate your time.
All right, man. Have a good night. Good luck with everything.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye.